37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Them bones. Them dry bones. I'm not going to preach the way this black preacher I heard one time. He preached out of this passage. I couldn't do it. Not the way. You'll see in just a minute. Ezekiel 37, if you've never read it, and I want to talk to you just for a little bit. It won't be long. But we're going to read verse 1 through 10. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 10. Now, the interpretation of this chapter deals with Israel being regathered together. Amen. And that's what it's about. A lot of times you'll read the Bible, if you don't know the context, you didn't read before it or after it, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you just took this chapter out, these verses out, and read them without knowing the rest of the story, it doesn't make sense. So don't ever do that. Read it in context. If you don't understand it, keep reading it. It explains itself, or either go back before it will explain. 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. That means they've been there a long time. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. The whole place began to shake. I'd like to see that. And bones laying down there shaking. They fixing to jump up. The hip bones connected to the whatever bone, you know. Look here. He says, verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. They were dead bodies. Yeah. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he explains it. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we're cut off from our parts. Go down to verse 14. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Now you got to put it in its context, and he explained it at the end. He said, now this is Israel. And they're in graves. They're in other countries. They've been dispersed. It was called the Great Dispersion. They've been scattered throughout the world because of their sin. God had punished them by scattering them. And they were in other nations. And that's what he's talking about. You're in those graves. You have no spirit in you over there. But he's, what he's saying is, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back to your land. And I'm going to bring Israel back. And if you put it in its context, as you study in Daniel's 70th week, it talks about God will once again deal with Israel as a nation. Now right now, they're still out of the will of God. Israel's not in the will of God. But they're coming back. They're coming from all over the world. They've been going back since after World War II. They've been going back. They actually started going back in 1918. There was a thing called the Balfour Declaration that Great Britain owned Israel. And they made a declaration that Jews could live there. Jews had not lived there in over 1,000 years, had not lived in the land of Israel. And that's why the people that live there now that call themselves Palestinians, and they made that name up in our generation. That, there was no such thing as a Palestinian until our generation. They made that up. Those are the people, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them were living there.
Yeah.
When Israel began to come back and take the land. But they were Bedouins. They wandered around in tents and rode camels and eat goat. They didn't plant. They didn't plow. They didn't produce. They didn't rebuild. They were just a bunch of nomad-like people. And then after Israel comes in, Arabic-type people and Islamic people, they see the prosperity. Then they come in. And over this generation, they've evolved themselves into what they call Palestinians. And they say, here's their condition. Their condition is, we were here before the Jews were. And we read them in the Bible and said, no, God gave Abraham that land.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Jews, the Knesset is what they call their Congress or something like that. One of the Jewish representatives stood up and read the account of where God had given the land and where the boundaries were. And that was something. Those people got excited. Well, that's the day that we're living in. God's bringing them back.
Amen.
He's bringing them back. Now, they're still dead in trespasses and sin. They're still dead spiritually. They've not been born again. But the day's coming during the tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week. Now, the tribulation period is for the Jew. It's not for the Gentile. It will affect the Gentile. It's going to affect the whole world. But it's in order to bring them back to God through to Jesus Christ. Now, that's what this is. That's what he's prophesying. And so Ezekiel is prophesying. He really is telling the future. Israel's a bunch of dead bones, and now they're beginning to come back. And now they're beginning to prosper. Flesh is coming on them again. It won't be long. God, the Holy Ghost, is going to breathe life on that nation again. And they're going to become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. Now, that's where that is. That's what this is. But you can also, there's a double application that you could use. And a lot of scriptures that way, you can use it not only for Israel, but for the church also. I'd like to talk about the church right now. Just before the rapture of the church, just in these last days, perilous times shall come. In these last days, a great falling away shall come first. In these last days. And I think we're in those last days.
Amen.
I heard somebody say today that they were looking. No, last night I couldn't sleep. I was listening to Clarence Sexton. I love Clarence Sexton. He's a great independent Baptist preacher. And he says he sees a great awakening about to happen. Well, I don't know about that. I hope he's right, but if he is right, it won't be worldwide. There's no way. Look, Jesus is about to come. Now, when he comes, there's going to be an awakening, but they're going to follow the Antichrist. So I want to kind of apply this to the church as a whole. Those that claim to be churches. You understand what I'm saying? Not the church, but all churches. And I'm even in that, I'm not meaning every church. I mean as those that claim to be church.
Amen.
I call it Dry Bones Baptist Church. Dry Bones Baptist Church. A lot of Baptist churches, they've never seen anything like what's happened here. Matter of fact, you could write Dry Bones Baptist Church on most Baptist church signs now.
Yes.
We could start a new denomination, call it Dry Bones Baptist Convention. Amen. But now, wait a minute. These churches lived at one time. I always tell people, you go to that dead, dry Baptist church, and it was not started by dead, dry people. Churches are not started by worldly, carnal, sinful Christians. It's not started by compromisers. It's not started by liberals. They don't start churches. They destroy churches. What we've seen in our nation's capital, these things with this presidential thing, and then the State of the Union, all that. Our country wasn't founded by those kind of people. Those people have slipped in. About half of our government has slipped in. They don't make governors. They destroy governments. And you go all over this country, you'll see it. He had the past president of not Peru.
Venezuela.
Yeah. Good man. Venezuela used to be a democratic country full of life and living and money and all this stuff. And now it's been taken over by socialists and they've destroyed it.
Yes.
The economy is like 400% in the hole. Your dollar, their dollar, what used to be $1 is now a $400 bill. But it's not worth any more than it ain't worth as much as the dollar was. And that's what these dead people do. They slip into churches and they destroy it little by little. That's why we have to be careful.
Amen.
We have to be careful. We got to be careful of the spirit of people. If they come in dead, dead things don't produce life.
That's right.
And if you hang around something dead long enough, you'll get sick and die.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
And so, that's the way these churches are. Somebody started them that believed the Bible. Somebody started them that preached the truth. Somebody started them that led people to Jesus Christ. Somebody started these churches that lived separated lives, and they went around and talked about Jesus. And they made a difference in the community that they were in. But now they're dead and they're dry. They didn't start that way. I want you to see a couple of things about these churches, and we ought to, our eyes ought to be open, and we need to correct things when we see them go wrong. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, you get somebody teaching wrong around here, you come tell me. Say, preach, that guy over there teaching wrong. I'll go talk to him. If they scare me, I'll get Jeffrey on. And if they scare him, we'll get Rudy on. They don't want Rudy on. Don't want Rudy on. But see, we got to be careful. Death produces death. It doesn't produce life. Now, the deadness of churches there in verse 1, he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley full of bones. Those are dead people. Now, these churches are full of dead men's bones. What I mean by that is they might have used to been something for God, but they're not anymore. Or maybe they never were in the first place. They've traded preaching for programs.
Yeah.
Trade preaching for programs, music programs, dance programs, mime programs, plays, feel-good programs like food closets, soup kitchens, civic events, political events. They've traded the preaching of the Word of God for programs. Now, let me tell you something. This church right here, there's a pulpit here. And the reason we have a pulpit, it comes from the Old Testament. He preached from a pulpit of wood up above everybody where everybody could see him and hear him. And the day that you take this thing down and put a guy up here that wants to organize programs, you'll kill this church.
Amen.
You'll kill it. That ain't nothing wrong with feeding hungry people. We ought to do that. And we do. But we're not going to make that our main thing. There ain't nothing wrong with getting people some clothes. Most people don't wear the clothes they got. But if you make that your main thing, you're going to kill your church. There's nothing wrong with enjoy each other's fellowship. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with kids getting together to have a Christmas play. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But if you make those things your main thing, your church is going to die and be full of dead men's bones. You don't replace the preaching with anything else. The Bible says God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And he also chose it to edify the saints. Now, if you replace preaching with theological discussions, you're going to kill your church. stood in up here in Clover, a little old church, for there for a while. And when we first went there, they had, on Sundays, they'd get in a circle. And their speaker would sit down in one of the chairs, and they'd all, of course, there wasn't many of them, 12, 14, I guess. And they'd sit around and discuss the Bible. Discuss the Bible. Well, I love you. I love everybody who comes to church, but not everybody is qualified to discuss the Bible. And it will lead you into error. Yeah. And so what we need to do, we need to stand up, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice, show my people their sins. And when you preach the word, the Holy Ghost of God will penetrate the heart and the mind, and that'll rejuvenate a spirit. It'll bring life to those dead bones.
Amen.
But a little sermonette from a little preacherette is not going to do that. I don't have any book reports to read you. I'm not going to stand up here and try to be a theologian. I'm just going to preach. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Did you know they've traded their convictions for compromise?
Yeah.
Now, compromise means, like, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney wants everybody to like him. So what he does, you got two articles of impeachment, so he says, guilty and not guilty. Ain't I nice? I didn't vote him out here. I voted him out there, though, because I want you guys to be my friends, and I want you to be my friends, too. And I want all those people back home who can't make a decision to be my friends, too. Well, let me tell you something. Our churches, they've traded convictions. Conviction's something you'll die for.
Yeah. Amen.
Most of us have the conviction we die for our loved one. We have that conviction. Nod your head or something, don't
you? Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Most of us have the conviction that we would sacrifice everything we have for our loved ones. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Well, there ought to be biblical convictions and not compromise on the Bible. The Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. It's God breathed every word in it, every comma, every period, every T, everything is God breathed. Now, we don't need a new translation. We've got one over 400 years old. It's been, that God's been using that to save people, to keep people, to teach people, to disciple people. We don't need an improved model, because when you get an improved model, what you're going to do, you're going to compromise your conviction of an inerrant word for a guy over here. He says, well, I think most of it's true, but I don't know about some of it. You're on the wrong road. We'll have convictions about salvation. Saved by grace through faith, that not of thyself, and it's by faith, and it's through grace, and it's not of you, and there's nothing you can do to add to it, and there's nothing you can do to take away from it.
Yeah.
People call me a legalist sometimes, you know, because I got a few convictions. They'll call me a legalist. I said, you don't even know the meaning of the word. You ought to go look it up. It means adding something to the salvation through Jesus Christ, like you must get baptized. We ought to get baptized, but that's not going to save you.
Right.
It identifies you with your salvation. And then others say, well, you got to speak in tongues. And so what they do, they add things to it, and that makes it legally you got saved. You did something. But we ought not compromise by that, how people are saved. We ought not compromise on sanctification.
Right.
When you get saved, you'll live right.
Right.
You'll live separate. You'll be different. And if you can go to the world's Super Bowl like that strip show the other night, that's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Churches had that in their church. Yeah. Yeah, they showed in fellowship all. They had Super Bowl parties. Yeah. And then some of them say, well, we didn't show that part. We had a Bible study during halftime. Yeah, but it was still on there. It's still going on. And you must be agreeing with it because you're showing. I better go on. Look, sanctification. We ought not compromise on sanctification. God set us apart. We ought to set ourselves apart. And then we ought not compromise on marriage. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen.
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 It was not Eve and Mary. It was Adam and Eve. Amen. But they're good people. Well, they pay their bills. They take a bath. They comb their hair. They pay their rent. They work hard. But they're none good, and they're living in sin. And somebody needs to say, that's not marriage. That is a farce. Somebody fooled you. Well, to keep those... Amen. And now they got double marriages, poly marriages, and now some of them's even talking about marrying children, marrying horses and animals and all that stuff. It won't never quit. When you start compromising, your bones start getting dry, and you die and dry up, and then it's going to get drier and drier as it goes down the road. That's all it's going to do. We'll not compromise about preachers. And men, we call them ministers. What are preachers? Pastors. What not compromise on that? What not compromise on deacons?
Right.
The husband of one wife.
Amen.
He's got his children under control. He's a good example. He lives godly. Got a good testimony. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I mean, I am real careful who I let preach here.
Yes.
There's a lot of people. Now I've got friends that's been, divorced and remarried since they was called to preach. And I don't agree with that. I might could debate you on about before you were called to preach, before you were saved. I might could debate you on that. But after that, I don't know. And so here's where I go. If I got any doubt on it, I'm staying away from it.
Right.
I'm staying away from it. And I know we all, I got friends, I'm telling you. And there've been some great preachers that's, we ought not compromise on, preach the word.
Yes.
We don't need a little teacherette. We need a preacher. I like to go somewhere where the preacher preaches.
Yes.
And he preaches right at me.
Yes.
And he practices what he preaches.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, he don't tell you you ought to go, and then he sits in his office all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I better go on. I can tell that hit some. Did you know that our churches are full of deadness because they've traded revivals for seminars? Yeah. You go to seminars so you can smoke your cigar. I made that up. Write that down. Thank you, Lord. What business has a church having a financial seminar? I know some of y'all probably been to them, but what business is that of the church? What business is that of the church? I mean, you pay your tithes, your offerings, you pay your bills, you live right, and you know God will take care of you.
Amen.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but the church wants to teach you how to be rich so you can invest more. Health seminar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not against health. I'm in pretty good health. I am. I'm in, thank God. I know a lot of people didn't make it this far. Thank God for my health. Me and my wife pray every day. Lord, give us health and give us wealth so we can serve you and others and not have to worry about those things. And he has. And I thank God for it. And I'm not having a fat club. We don't need it. Go down to Y and do your jazzercise. Besides that, I seen what they wear to them things. It was like two hogs having a fight. Listen, no health seminars. No, we're not going to have a happiness seminar. Did you know there's Christian preacher, comedians?
Yes.
Now I know I get y'all to laugh a lot of times. My wife's embarrassed at half what I say. But I'm not a comedian. These guys will come in, and women too, and they'll have these seminars, and they'll get that close to talking sinful. And teach our children it's all right to use slang, and it's not all right to use slang, by the way. And they'll teach them as long as it's funny, it's okay. No, we're not doing that. We're not trading revivals for seminars. They've traded Wednesday night service for family night. You know what family night is? Food and fun. That's all family night is. They've traded Bible studies for family life centers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm not against having a gymnasium and having stuff in the gym, you know, and having the boys and the girls have stuff. And I'm not against that. But you better not lay aside a Bible study
Amen.
To have a basketball team.
Amen.
I better hurry. Churches traded salvation for church membership. Anybody can join. All you got to do is walk up there and shake that man's hand, fill out that card, and you in. Especially if you want to network and sell something. Hello. Yeah, I sold insurance a long time. I know what they do. They join these churches and they'll go through everybody and they're trying to sell them insurance. And when they run out of clients, they'll go join a different church. Real estate agents do the same thing. I'm serious. Y'all ain't never seen that. You poor, innocent little things. Dry Bones Baptist Church, look at verse 2. I'm running out of time. Look at verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Listen, I know it's near the end because of the dryness of our churches. They've traded praise for knowledge. Yeah. They wouldn't have a preacher that didn't speak just right English. And he didn't have a composition
right. Instead
of a sermon.
Yep.
They've traded worship for entertainment. Did you know the average Baptist church member now has never been in a service where the God, the Holy Ghost, has touched people?
Mm.
We got people here. They come in here, and this is not the most exciting church I've ever been in. But God touches sometimes.
Yeah.
And God moves on people sometimes. And you know, people come in here and it scares them when that happens. Because it's so unusual nowadays. Yeah. Used to be, if you said, I go to the Baptist church, those Methodists look at you and say, oh, you one of them. You know what they meant? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ah! Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, I've been in church where God, the Holy Ghost, come down. You couldn't do nothing but cry. That's all you can do was cry. Amen. Well, they've traded that. They don't want that. They want to be full of dead men's bones. Now, the problem is they don't know it.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many. Did you know that Sunday night, they've traded Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night, visitation nights for nothing. Even in our church. Now I know people work, and a lot of our people live a long way off, and some of them's older, you know, and things like that. But there are people that could show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night. And one day they'll come after years from now. You know, I'll be dead and gone. You'll be dead and gone. They'll have some liberal preacher in here and a bunch of dry bones. And then they'll say, I just don't know what happened to our church.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, while you wasn't here, they snuck in. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The question for the church can be this. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now, you don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You've been in these churches. Dead, dry, cold,
yeah. Unfriendly.
Dead people ain't friendly. You walk over and say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Can I sit here? Dead. You've been in those churches. Amen. Amen. And one of these days, some of these people in this church are going to shout, and I'm going to have a heart attack. You'll have to find another preacher. Amen. Dead. Dry. Dead. And they go home, they say, I don't know what's wrong with our pastor. He's just crazy. He's just crazy. He gets too loud. He hurts my ears. I can't believe he said that. He sounds like a redneck. Amen. Did you know they can live? Did you know these dead churches could live?
Right.
Hey, do you know how to get them back to life? CPR.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let Christ breathe into them.
Amen.
Go over and beat them on the heart a while. Get a preacher and that preaches Jesus' sinless life and vicarious atonement and bodily resurrection. And he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Here's what he's doing. Live! 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 And that old dead body will go, oh, hallelujah! Amen. They need some CPR. Amen. Did you know the joy of their salvation is gone?
Yes.
You remember when you first got saved, they couldn't shut you up. And you didn't care. Matter of fact, you enjoyed it when they got mad at you about it. Because, amen, Lord, I done that one good, didn't I? Amen. They got mad at me. Amen. Oh, Bob Jones Sr., you say, if the devil don't jump on me at least once a week, I feel like I'm backslid. Amen. They've left their first love. I mean, when we got saved, he breathed life into us and we began to live. And then we were excited and we wept and we laughed and we cried and we shouted and we prayed and we begged and we witnessed and we went and we sacrificed and we got some convictions and got a burden for other people. And then these dead bodies start coming around us and suck the life right out of you. You need CPR. Hey, these churches can live. Lady come to our Bible study, said a man come to a church the other week and he raised his hand, said it upset the whole church because he weighs. Now that's a Southern Baptist church in town that used to be alive.
Amen.
But they've replaced singing for preaching.
Amen.
And a lot of them's done that.
You're right.
A lot of them's done that. And look, you can't, singing is like cake. Singing is like cake. You can eat it and you can live. But if that's all you eat, you're going to get sick.
Right.
You're going to get anemic. You're going to get diabetes. And eventually you're going to die if all you eat is cake. But the Word of God is life.
Amen.
Life. That's what the Word of God is. It's quick. It's alive. And it's powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And the Word of God gives life where cake is just a little dessert on the side. And these churches have changed preaching for singing. But they can be revived. In all the times, all these years, I got to think about that, and I had to write this stuff out so I wouldn't forget it. I've seen people died who simply lost the desire to live.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was in a wreck when I was 14 years old and split my head open right here and got, I think, 36 stitches. Just bleeding out in the middle of nowhere, and that boy, we climbed up on that car on top of it, and then we climbed up that ditch, got up in the road out there in the countryside. He says, you lay down here and wait. I'm going to run, and I'm going to find somebody to help. And I said, no, sir, if I die, I'm going to die running. I'm not going to lay over here on the side of the road and bleed to death. I'm going to die running. Amen. And look, a lot of people just lost their desire to live, lost their desire to run in that race that he put us in. And they sat down, they died. And if you're an active person, Rudy's having a problem with it right now. He's retired. St. Brother Michael's having a problem. He's retired. If you're an active person and you retire and you sit down, and you stay sit down every day, it won't be long. You'll lose your health. You might end up a pile of old dry bones yourself. You got to keep going. Keep going for Christ. In order to live, you know what we need to do, these churches? We need to pray that God will send them a preacher.
Amen.
Somebody that will cry out and spare not. That God will send his Holy Ghost to anoint the preacher.
Yes.
And God will send the right book that he can preach. Amen. And that God will breathe on these dead bones. What would happen in this town right now, there's over 62 Southern Baptist churches in this county. I think it is. What would happen if all those churches begin to breathe again?
Yeah.
They all started, well, the new ones didn't, but the older ones, they started out good. But now they've died and they're full of dead men's bones and they wouldn't put up with me for a week. They'd vote me out. They'd vote me out. And I'm not much of a preacher. What would they do with a real preacher? Amen. You can say amen right there. It won't hurt my feelings. Listen. But look, Jeremiah 22:29 says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The reason this earth keeps going is by the word of God.
Yeah.
By him all things were created. By him all things consist.
That's right.
And a church can't go without the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
The preacher don't do it, but the breath of God, that wind come down in that valley and it blew on those bones. Well, they had sinew on them, had flesh on them then. And it blew on those dead bodies and they went, and they rose up. God's going to do the same thing to Israel during tribulation period.
Amen.
But our churches are dying. We need some,
yes.
Look, in order to live, we need to preach and we need to teach and we need to cry aloud. And look at verse 5 and 6. And I know I done gone over time. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. In order to bring these churches back, they need the breath of God.
Yes.
There you go.
They need life. They need life.
Yeah. Amen.
They need growth. You know, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You need the growth. Thank God. God gives us a little growth every once in a while. He lets us see people get saved.
Yeah.
It's good to see babies in the house. Amen. I'm talking about grown-up babies too, spiritual, just been born again. Babies that come in and look, they bring life with them.
Amen.
My grandkids wear me out. They got life in them. And I'm running around behind them, you know, all the time trying to catch them, you know. They're going to jump off of something. Papa, look! Oh! Look, and I quit. There's a problem is verse 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shake, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. They got a lot of noise. A lot of noise going on in these churches. They turned the sound system up. They turned the drums up. They turned the bands up. They got these old middle-aged people, men and women, trying to wear the blue jeans they had when they were 16. Yeah, that's right. And trying to do what their parents wouldn't let them do because they grew up in good Christian homes. Their parents wouldn't let them play rock music.
Yeah.
And now they think they're rock stars and they just throw a little Jesus in there every once in a while. Don't get mad at me.
That's true.
Amen. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. You ever see them people? Sometimes I think I'm going to have to get Mike under control. He gets up here and he ain't doing bad though. He's still legal. If it gets much more, I'm going to have to get a brace or something to put on. But there's a whole lot of shaking going on in these churches. But it's not by the Holy Ghost. There's a whole lot of coming together in these churches. But it's not by the Holy Spirit. There's a whole lot of organization in these churches. The bones are laid in just an order like they ought to be. And they laid like they would be if it really was a live body. But there's no life in it. There's a lot of appearance in these churches. Beauty. I'm talking about facilities, beautiful places.
You're right.
Amenities, beautiful things. We got two little outhouses that they moved into the back hall back there. And we got two seekers in there, you know, and I'm just saying, thank God for what we got.
Amen.
But I'm saying this, they're abundantly beautiful. They have just extravagantly, most of them are. But beauty is not necessarily the spirit.
That's right.
The devil appears as a beautiful angel of light sometimes.
Yep.
Here's what we need. We need the breath of God.
Amen.
John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We need the breath of God, Acts 1:8. But you shall be receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We need the breath on our fellowship. We need the breath on our daily walk. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. And the Lord said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, I don't know. And God said, if I breathe on, they will.
Amen.
Let's pray for the breath of God to fall in here Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's pray for, we got some of those people here and they don't know they're dead. I didn't know I was dead. And let's pray that the power and the presence of a holy God will come in and forget the lies, forget everything. Let's magnify him and rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from the death and hell in the grave. And let me tell you something. Put the word of God up here.
Yes.
Amen.
And the only thing higher than that will be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God. I'm glad you breathed on this old dead bones one day. You gave me life. What wonderful.